Dennis, my name is Matt Wirtz. I am from Nashville, Tennessee.
The scene in Nashville these days, people have this perception of it still being, you know, a country-centric town, and it stopped being country a long, long time ago. There's more rock and roll coming out of Nashville.
Very much. And even if you listen to what's happening in country music right now, it's so, like, it's so pop and rock influenced that I think that even country music has been influenced in what's going on in Nashville outside of the country scene. And it feels like every house has a studio in it. So if you're a burglar and you want to, you know, you want to score
just, but not just a house studio, not house like people are thinking lo-fi. Ever these studios are, you know, pretty amazing studios.
They're for real studios. I mean, like, in fact, the records that we've done have been, you know, an appendage of a house. But I mean, it's been designed by a studio designer, and everything's for real. I mean, they do it to the nines in Nashville, for sure.
You said you learned who you are through what you went through in making this record, and aren't many of the greatest records truly that kind of experience?
I think so. I mean, you know, it'd be great to hear other people's experiences, but man, it's a tough process, and I guess a lot of opportunities were presented after my last record, both, you know, business-wise and just with, you know, fans. And so I think for the first time with this record, I felt like I had, you know, something to live up to in making a record. Before, they were all kind of just, yeah, these are some songs I wrote. And, you know, so this was the first record that I felt like there were expectations upon me. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think the goal is from now on is to not pay attention to the, you know, 1,000 people that are looking over my shoulders while I'm writing these songs and you know, trying to produce these songs as well.
You told us when the songs were written on the record, because the lyrics, you know, on the album are kind of like identified with exactly when you wrote the songs. So in the case of 519, I suspect the exact time leads to the obvious but must be asked question, is this album about one relationship or a bunch turned into one story?
It's one relationship. And it's,
see, I didn't know what you were asking.
Yeah, it's one relationship, and it you know, presented a lot of good material, obviously. Pretty short relationship, but my first one in a long time. And so it kind of just, you know, it was like tilling the soil, you know, like kind of getting all that stuff that hadn't been, you know, revealed for a while, kind of turned up and, but it's good. It's like you start feeling again, you start dealing with emotions and thoughts that you haven't, that you haven't, it's like when you go skiing or something and you get it sore in a muscle that you didn't even realize you had. It's like, oh, that's still there, you know? And so it's good, man. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I got a record out of it, so that's good.
But it's not the girl with you in the alley in the Ramones t-shirt.
No.
Bummers! Yeah. Okay, is she available? Can you, let's see.
She is beautiful. That's actually Donna Summer's daughter, believe it or not.
Seriously?
For real. She's a friend of mine, and...
Whoa.
So bizarre, but that's Donna.
Many things I could go with there, but right. Whether it be she works hard for the money or hot stuff, right?
Either way, I'm sure she's heard them all. So,
yeah. Well, if she's available for The Last Dance, thank you very much. We'll just keep going on those. However, you didn't sequence the songs in chronological order, which really makes it an interesting little puzzle.
Right. We thought about doing that, and as we were going and listening through, it just didn't seem to, it didn't have the flow that I wanted for the record. I pay like severe attention to how an album flows. I my favorite records are ones that you can digest as a whole. And so with this record, the best flow was not in chronological order. And it's funny because it's still, you still get a good picture of what happened. It still works. Even though it's out of order, you know?
Well, if relationships really worked, at least based on my experience, if relationships really worked out in chronological order, and we could predict that, wouldn't that be a special moment?
It would be very special. It would help with planning weddings, I think.
And just about everything else.
Right.
But I'm confused now, because you're very happy on the back cover, so what's changed?
Well, you know, I think the thing about this was I wanted to make sure that there was kind of hope and strands of hope still weaved in the songs of heartbreak and stuff. I didn't want this to come across as a record of just extreme devastation, and wrist slitting kind of, So there are songs like Heartbreaker that, whatever, there are fun songs, but it's talking about, a broken heart. And so I tried to, even with the songs that were a little more, a little more felt, I wanted them to still be light, and so the back of the cover, that's me. I mean, that's where you will see me laughing probably smiling most of my life. And so I wanted to make sure that was communicated on the record.
Not going
to
let one little relationship that made a really good record affect the rest of your life.
Exactly. You got to move on.
You once again turned to Ed Cash to produce part of the album, Dave Barnes to do the rest, but you're listed as co-producer in both cases. So tell me about because I've spent a lot of time with a lot of artists talking about the producer-artist relationship. And a lot of artists, aren't willing to put themselves down as co-producer, but what they do afterwards is they say, well, you know what the deal is. He produced it, but it's not what we wanted, so we went back. So
right. I think there's something about having three people involved with the songs that we did. Let me see which ones we did. We did 1, 2, 5, and 8. So The Way I Feel, Carolina, 519, and With You Tonight were three of us. And there's something about the three people that there was kind of always a real balanced, democratic decision-making process. The stuff that just Ed and I did was it was also kind of nice to, because that really forced me to voice my opinion and really get my hands dirty and not necessarily rely on Dave or just the process or just Dave and Ed's relationship and for me to really step it up and make some calls too. So that's the deal.
So I almost responded to this, but I decided not to. But someone online wrote, the record's only 30 minutes long. Albums have landed up with way too much filler and stuff, instead of songs that just make a good record. Because in the old days, you made an album, you really could only get 20 minutes worth of grooves on a record. But people are kind of feel the obligation now to fill 80 minutes.
Right. I took a lot of hints from old Billy Joel records. And even, looking at Thriller, I mean, we're talking these records were 30 minutes long, 28, 30 minutes
of,
long.
Of all, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, but all hits, yeah. Back then, and I know because I did it, radio was able to play every track. It wasn't just the focus track.
Right. And so, it is a shorter record, but, there's 10 songs and I just happen to write pretty short pop songs.
Yeah.
And...
that's why I'm here.
Right. That's great. So, I'm glad that, I feel like that's almost, it's not a real popular thing to do right now. And so, I'm kind of thankful that someone appreciates it because I that's kind of what I'm good at. Even in the 15 years I've been listening to radio, it's amazing the change. I mean, when I was starting to listen to radio, I mean, you would hear, I remember Dave Matthews, Dave Matthews up next to Counting Crows and you'd hear an Arrested Development song. It's it was just this huge hodgepodge mishmash of different styles of music.
I love your Aspen story about Mark Cohn. He's certainly been through amazing, amazing stuff, and you're certainly a big fan. But I thought about it, and it's really interesting to hear an artist tell a story about another artist, not only that they relate to, but obviously were influenced by. And he's had quite you can sum up his career in not in one song by any stretch, but he has one that is so incredibly iconic that people go nuts. you know?
It's phenomenal. I mean, like, 14-year-old girls now know that song.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't understand how. I mean, you know.
Probably because it's a radio staple on every format in existence. There's nobody that won't play that song.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. And actually, Dave Barnes is the one who really got me, you know, listening to Mark Cohn. I knew Walking in Memphis when I was growing up, but he was the one who really, like, you know, made sure that I dove into, like, The Rainy Season and records like in Burning the Days, like the records that kind of came after that weren't as commercially successful, but that are just you know, equal in depth and brilliance. I think I'm a fan.
Tell me about going to Africa and about the Mocha Club.
Going to Africa was something that probably about 4 years ago I felt like a real draw to. I really felt drawn to Africa, and the first time I went was in May of 2005. And I came away from that time really not knowing what to do with what I saw and what I learned, because what I saw that they had, the African people had something that I feel like Americans are trying to get, and are going about the wrong way. And so it was really hard for me to look at the African people and be, and feel sorry for them. Now there are severe, you know, infrastructural problems and like from a foundational level, like the governments are corrupt and you know, and there's problems with health, and there are a lot of things that need to be fixed. But I'm very fearful that the Western influence will corrupt these people, you know. That has nothing to do with the Mocha Club. But the Mocha Club, what it is it's an idea that my friend Barrett, who I went to Africa with, came up with, where we basically encourage people to give up two mochas or cappuccinos or lattes a month and give that $7 to Africa. And we're building a rehabilitative village for girls who were sex slaves of the Lord's Resistance Army, which is a rebel militant group in northern Uganda. So that's kind of the deal. And we've been doing that at my shows over the past year, and it's been really successful.
Very cool stuff. And I mean, what's really scary is that, you know, we're talking about, you know, two mochas for $7, but what's great about it is you can really be effective.
It's hugely effective. And as a matter of fact, one of the statistics, which is huge, is that $7 provides fresh water for 7 Africans for a year. And so getting your head around that, I mean, thinking that, you know, I have probably $20 in my pocket right now, and that I could right now give that money and almost provide fresh water for 21 African people, or I could, you know, for 20 Africans for a year in my pocket right now. And that's amazing. And that's just an example. I mean, that money, you know, apply that to other things and it has the same amount of power. Our money just goes a long way there.
Unlike here and right where you are at this moment. If you record a cover of any song,
Ooh. What
just out of your mind right now, what would you cover?
You know, I think it would probably be like, it would probably be a Pearl Jam song. It'd probably be like Even Flow or something.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty. Now that you applying to Even, that would be, now if more people did that kind of thing,
yeah,
just think what that could be.
Yeah, it would be awesome. You know, we recorded, I was getting ready to say a song that I actually did do for this last record. We recorded Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police, and we did it pretty spot on, because all the guys that were playing on my record are huge fans of The Police and are fans of that song. So we dialed in like the like pretty accurate sounds to what they were doing, which is,
you had no idea at the time that they were going to
none at all. Which I'm so excited about.
Anybody would ever believe.
I know.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich. And here's what it is. It's two of your songs as the bread, and then as many fillings with anything else you've always wanted to play on the radio, because I've found that bands make incredible DJs.
You know, I would say The Way I Feel and Heartbreaker would be two good bookend songs. And then a song in between, in between there?
You can throw. You can do a club sandwich. It's allowed.
Oh, nice. Okay. So I'd say that I feel, and then I would say Boogie on Reggae Woman by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And then I would say Secondhand News by Fleetwood Mac. Allentown by Billy Joel.
Nice.
Mystery by the Indigo Girls. I would say Under the Dark Stars. What's that song? Why Should I Cry for You by Sting? Oh, dude, have you heard the artist Thick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would throw in a Thick song. I'd probably make it off of not this current record. It's Brand New Jones by Thick. And then my song Heartbreaker. You know what song I love? You know how much I love you.
I will. Off the White Album.
I will off the White Album. Oh, you know what? I'd like to put a Steely Dan song in there as well. Let's go Peg.